We're going to read this evening from Luke 2, beginning with verse 21. And we'll read through verse 39. Word of God in Luke 2. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Then there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Sermon text is this evening those 3 verses that speak of Anna. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The faith, beloved, of those who were part of the story of our Savior's first coming is an amazing thing. The shepherds at the bidding of the angels, went to Bethlehem, and by faith found in Bethlehem, as the angel had said, a Savior, Christ the Lord. And even saw in the swaddling clothes in which he was wrapped, in his manger bed, saw in those things not evidence to the contrary, but proof by faith that he was Christ the Lord. And only faith could have seen that. Faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Simeon, when he met Joseph and Mary in the temple carrying their baby son, saw in that little child who did not yet even know his own name and wasn't able to distinguish his right hand from his left, saw in him God's salvation. And Simeon could see that by faith, because faith sees things and knows things that the mind cannot know and the eye cannot see. And it sees and knows those things because it's the gift of God. And that same faith is evident in Anna. Old, old Anna. Who, when she saw the child and heard the words of Simeon, began to speak of redemption in Israel. That's the faith of every child of God. Our faith too, though of course we have not only now the record of his coming in the flesh and of his birth in Bethlehem, but the record of his completed work as our Savior. But that makes no difference, really, because faith always sees in Christ redemption and salvation and a Savior, and sees that not only in the crucified and risen Christ, but sees that in this child as well. And that, of course, is why the story of Christ's birth is included in the Word of God. It's included there because even as a babe, faith recognized that he was already our Savior. The truth is not that he would become our Savior as he grew up and took up the work that God had given him to do in some official way, but he was already our Savior. And we see that too by faith, just as the shepherds did, as Simeon did, and as Anna did. And I want to call your attention this evening to the faith of Anna. We're going to look at what the Bible says about her. We're going to look at her faithfulness, because that's an important part of the Word of God here, especially what we read of her in verse 37, that she departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And finally, we're going to look at that testimony of Anna, a testimony which spake of redemption in Jerusalem. And we have to look at that especially because when Anna spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem, she was speaking not only to those who were in the temple then, but she was speaking to us as well. And her testimony is included in the Word of God for us. We don't know as much as we would like to know about Anna, but that's often the way it is with the Word of God. And in this case, the little information that we are given, though important, is limited because the focus has to be on Christ. It's for the same reason that the Bible doesn't tell us much about Simeon or about the shepherds or the wise men or about others who were part of the story of our Savior's birth. This is really not about Anna, but about Christ, Christ the Lord, as the angel said to the shepherds. And we mustn't forget that either, as moving as the story of Anna is. Our attention in looking at Anna has to be directed to him, and especially to him as the one who brings redemption to Jerusalem. Anna is first of all notable here in the Word of God for her great age. She must have been over 100 years old. And it's hard to imagine an old lady like that living as Anna did in the temple, probably in the court of the temple, and perhaps even sleeping there in the evening, though that's not clear from the Word of God. But in her old age, probably married around 15, as many of the Jewish girls were in those days, married for only 7 years, and then a widow for 84 years, Anna would have been somewhere around 105 or 106 years old. But in her old age, she really represents here, along with Simeon, who was also old, she represents the whole of the Old Testament. All of the people of God who lived in the Old Testament, and represents the fact that the Old Testament was now very, very old indeed. But represents the Old Testament as that long time of watching and waiting for the coming of Christ. And now, finally, reaching the day of fulfillment. She stands here as the fulfillment of the hopes of those that Hebrews 11 talks about, who died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and who were persuaded of them and embraced them, and who for the sake of those promises were willing to be strangers and pilgrims in the earth. That must be the reason why Anna is described here as departing not from the temple. Like all those Old Testament saints, she had become, in the most literal sense of the word, a stranger and a pilgrim with no home of her own anymore but the temple, for the sake of the promises. Only now, she, representing those saints, sees the fulfillment of those promises in Christ. Only 40 days old. The Word of God doesn't tell us that, but it was 40 days after the birth of a child that a mother had to bring a sacrifice to the temple for her purification. And that's what Joseph and Mary were doing when they met Simeon and Anna in the temple. Beautiful picture of those Old Testament saints, but also of us who are still waiting and watching. Waiting and watching for what Psalter number 363 calls a full redemption. Hope in God, ye waiting people. Mercies great with Him abound. With the Lord a full redemption from the guilt of sin is found. And the response of God's people is, for the Lord my soul is waiting, more than watchers in the night, more than they for morning watching, watching for the morning light. So Anna is not just here in the place of those believers who lived through the long dark years of the Old Testament in hope, but she stands here as our representative also, still waiting, not for the blood of atonement to be shed, but for that full redemption of which Psalm 130 speaks. And she's here in the Word of God, not just an example of those who wait and watch, but an example of God's faithfulness to them too. Her own name, Grace, is a name that must have been given by parents who, in the darkest of times, had the courage and the faith to give that name to their daughter. Who called her Grace at a time when the Word of God had not been heard for 400 years. But who nevertheless believed that God is unfailingly and forever gracious to His people. And her father's name reflects that kind of faith too. An absolute confidence in the fact that to live in the presence of God, that's what his name means. God's presence is all that matters. And whose attitude must have been in those dark days that the times and circumstances don't make any difference at all. That our calling, in the best of times or in the worst of times, is to live in the presence of Jehovah. And who themselves, she and her father, and her ancestors were a remarkable example of God's faithfulness in that they were from the tribe of Asher. One of the tribes that had departed with Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who, as the Bible said, made Israel to sin, left the throne of David and the worship of God in Jerusalem, but who had returned by the grace of God and in the faithfulness of God to the fellowship of God's people. Probably in the days of Hezekiah, when some of those 10 tribes who departed with Jeroboam returned, first to Hezekiah's Passover and then to remain with God's people in Jerusalem and as near to the temple as they could be. So in every way, she's a testimony to the faithfulness of God. And the fact that she was a prophetess is part of that. She's an example as a prophetess of the fact that even when there was no one else to bring the word of God to God's people, God would raise up, sometimes in the most unexpected way, someone through whom he might speak to those whom he loved. And especially in this case, because for 400 years God had been silent. So she's a remarkable example in what the Bible speaks, tells us of her. But an example not just of what a child of God ought to be, but of God's mercy and God's faithfulness and God's love for his people. And in that way, too, she points to Christ. And he's the one, of course, who is at the center of this all. Anna, if I can put it that way, is only here in the Word of God. Another finger pointing at him and at what God has done for us in him. But what's important too, especially when we think of Anna as an example of all who wait and watch, what's important is her faithful service of God. That's what characterizes those who really are watching and waiting. And who, when redemption comes, actually find that that redemption is for them. You know what it was like in Israel at this time. Everybody talked about the coming of Messiah. There wasn't a Jew in those days who didn't live, at least to all appearances, in the hope of Christ's coming. But one of the saddest things about the coming of Christ is the fact that he came unto his own, as John said, and his own received him not. For all their talk of the coming of Messiah, they didn't recognize him and receive him when he actually came. And that comes out in different ways in the story of Christ's ministry. Perhaps especially in the story of his crucifixion. When having cast out the Passover lamb, to whom every Passover lamb pointed and rejected him, they piously went to their Passover celebrations. So that you say, how could they have missed it? How could they not have seen in him the fulfillment of what they were busy with those very days in bringing their own lambs to the temple to be sacrificed? How could they have not seen in his miracles and in his teaching that this was the one of whom the prophets had spoken? Why was it that when the wise men came, those strange visitors from the east, inquiring after the birth of him who was born King of the Jews, that no one even bothered to go and see if those tidings were true? And the answer lies in what we see here in Anna, that watching and waiting for the coming of Christ is not just a matter of piously talking about it, not just a matter of confessing it with one's mouth, but a matter of living as Anna did in the service of God. Serving him, the Word of God says, with fastings and prayers, night and day. And not even leaving the temple in the hope that if someone came with tidings of the Messiah's birth, she would be the first to hear. Can almost imagine her, you know, when someone she didn't recognize came to the temple asking, have you heard anything? There was all that commotion in Bethlehem. Have you heard anything else from Bethlehem? Anything that would give us the hope that after these long years of waiting, God had finally remembered mercy and sent the one for whom we have been waiting so long. No doubt Anna's fastings were not like those of the Pharisees who fasted only to be seen of others. But were Anna's way of saying that nothing was as important to her as the coming of the kingdom of God and the one who would sit on the throne of David. That life itself, food and drink, were not as important to her as the coming of Messiah. And surely her prayers also were the prayers of all God's people who still say, "Come, come quickly, Lord Jesus." And no wonder then that when Simeon spoke of this child as God's salvation, that Anna was one of the first on the scene to see in him the answer to her prayers and the fulfillment of all of her desires. And I'm sure you see the lesson in that for us who still watch and wait. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But the lesson, to put it very bluntly, is this: that our talk of the coming of Christ and our professed hope in the coming of Christ is proved Anna lived, a life of faithful service in the place and calling God has given us. Not always the same as Anna's place at 105 or 106 years old. There wasn't much left for her but fasting and prayer. But in that place, she faithfully served the God of her salvation, and proved what was never proved in the ungodly and unbelieving Pharisees, that her hope arose out of faith in God and in His promises. And so it is with all who watch and wait. When Christ comes again, He'll come as He did in these days for those who are like, not exactly, but nevertheless like Anna, departing not from the temple, but serving God night and day. And by the grace of God, by the grace of God in this child, that's you and me, isn't it? Who are, when it comes right down to it, willing to give up everything, as Anna did with her fastings, for the sake of the kingdom of God and the coming of our Lord, and who may very well have to do that. whose fastings will not then be the voluntary fast of someone like Anna, but the involuntary fasts of those who are not even allowed for their faith in Jesus Christ to buy their daily bread. And whose prayers, like the prayers of Anna, are focused on the coming of Christ, and who are willing to suffer the loss of all things, if only, like Simeon and Anna, they may see Him once again. And who really do mean what they say. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And who are not troubled by the fact that the coming of the Lord Jesus will bring for them, as it will for all of God's people, trouble and distress and tribulation. Tribulation the like of which the church has not experienced. I can imagine that Anna, if indeed she actually lived in the temple, was treated sometimes with a great deal of scorn. Who wants a 100-year-old lady living in the temple like some kind of street person? Surely it wasn't those proud and haughty Pharisees who thought the temple was their exclusive place. But to Anna that made no difference, because she remembered what Malachi had prophesied many years before. The Lord whom ye see shall suddenly come to His temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. And there was nothing that would keep her away. But as I said, that's all by way of focusing our attention. As moving and wonderful as that story is, it's all by way of focusing our attention, not on Anna, but on Christ. Because both by her personal life and by the words that she spoke to those who were there, she made it clear that He was everything. All that God's people had waited for, everything for which she had lived, and the reason, too, why she had served God faithfully all those many years. And so, as we read in verse 38, she gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. And there can be no doubt about what she gave thanks for. Her thanks was the same as Simeon's. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Thanks for God's faithfulness, for His mercy and grace revealed in this child. And she must have seen then by faith too something of the fact that this child was already the Savior of God's people. How she could have seen that without having witnessed the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I don't know. But as I said in the beginning, Faith sees. And faith understands. And so her testimony, too, was not just that redemption would come, but that redemption had arrived. That finally, the price would be paid. That's what redemption is. Or even better, that the price was being paid. And this child who Simeon held in his arms, she saw by faith that somehow or other, perhaps beyond anything she could imagine, this child not only would pay the price that all the sacrifices of the Old Testament had not paid, the price that was beyond any earthly value at all, but saw that that price was being paid. That's what I meant when I said at the beginning that the shepherds and Simeon and now Anna saw in this child the Savior. Not one who would be the Savior, but one who was already the fulfillment of their hopes. And that's what you and I must see through their eyes. That in this child, an ordinary child, to the eyes like any other. In this case, poorer than most, or at least belonging to poorer parents than most, who couldn't even afford a lamb for the sacrifice that they were bringing, was in his lowliness, his humiliation, his being so ordinary. The one who was already paying the price of Israel's redemption. And that's what the story of Christ's birth is about. It's the beginning of our redemption, the beginning of the payment that had to be made, but which none of us could ever make, that would purchase us out of the slavery of sin and Satan, had purchased for us an inheritance in the eternal kingdom of God. And if you have the faith of Anna, then you see that in this child. But you see in him not only the assurance that that price was paid, but you see the hope too of that full redemption that we talked about earlier, because it's not quite finished. The price, of course, was paid once for all and can never be paid again, will never need to be paid again. But the redemption of God's people will not be complete until in the New Jerusalem they enjoy forever the deliverance, the redemption that is being worked by the Spirit of God in their hearts and lives, that will deliver them forever from the service and slavery of sin, so that they no more fall into the sins that they know have to confess every day and every night to the God of their salvation. And that's what I meant too when I said at the beginning that Anna still speaks to those who are looking for redemption in Jerusalem. She speaks not only with her words, but with her life, by who she is, of God's unchangeable faithfulness, of His mercy to His people, of His loving kindness that never fails. And she's a witness to us then of the fact that we must live in hope, and live in hope the darker the days and the more impossible it seems that the promises of God will be fulfilled. Because when that which Anna saw only in its beginnings is finished, I tell you, beloved, that redemption that she looked for will be beyond anything that you and I can even imagine now. It will indeed be what eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man to understand. The blessedness and glory, not only of being redeemed from the service and slavery of sin, but redeemed to live in the presence of God forever. Not as Anna did in that old earthly temple, but in that temple that is heavenly and forever. Temple that comes down from God out of heaven when our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So remember Anna. Listen to what she says. She said about redemption in Jerusalem. And be like her, waiting and watching for the final glorious fulfillment of those promises that God made to His people and which were fulfilled when our Lord Jesus Christ, in the arms of His parents, came to Jerusalem to meet there for the first time one of His own, a daughter of the tribe of Asher named Anna. May God grant us that faith and hope. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee. Thank Thee for the example of faithful saints who are still today a witness to us of the hope that lives in the heart of every child of God. And may this lady of whom we have spoken this evening be an example too to us of Thy covenant faithfulness and of the great mercy that Thou hast shown to us in Jesus Christ, and an encouragement to be faithful until our Savior comes again and delivers us into His eternal kingdom and its blessedness. Forgive us, Father, the sins of this Lord's day. Guard us from evil in what remains to be done. And fill our hearts with hope and peace as we wait in these dark days for our Lord's return. in whose name we pray. Amen.